Welcome to Quimper UU Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this recording from our June 19th service. Kathy Francis' talk is entitled, A Lifetime of Transitions. Thanks for listening.
Several things have alerted me to the idea that I'm in transition. I first noticed a change about 3 years ago when I turned 70. It might have been my quietest decadal birthday ever. When I turned 40, I was at the top of my game. Big party. 50, I was still striding. When I turned 60, it was the biggest birthday ever. I decided that rather than bemoan my aging, I would celebrate turning 60 as an opportunity, and I celebrated for a year. For months ahead of my birthday, I asked a lot of people what they would do to celebrate the opportunity to grow in wisdom, grace, and beauty. I collected lots of ideas, including buy a red sports car, take all your book group to Paris, doing something really hard, showing my art for the first time. You get the idea. The list went on and on. I chose some of the important ones, and I made a postcard. This is a copy. It's called Turning 60. And I used the postcard to announce my first art show. I checked off the box learning to meditate after my 10-day silent meditation retreat. I checked off the box take a great trip after going to Mexico with our kids and their spouses. Ticking off the box take many hikes was hugely significant to me because 2 years before, when I was 58, I had my right knee replaced. I used a cane for 10 years prior to my knee replacement. Finding myself on a river trail, I was flooded with gratitude at having been able to throw away my cane. I made a photo album of this year, and I've brought it, and I'm going to put it on the steps. I'm going to take a break, put it on the steps, and if you want to look at it, it'll be here after the service. Now, about the 70th. I didn't want anything. No party, no hoopla. I did marvel at how quickly the last 10 years had gone by, and I made a timeline of all the special events so that I could see. I started reading Joseph Campbell, and I joined the QUUF Buddhist book group. Two things this year have made me really focus on the transition I'm talking about. The first happened last fall when I was issued a more restrictive ankle brace for my arthritic ankle and foot. The brace I had used for the previous 8 years was no longer sufficient to spare me that sprained ankle feeling. Walking with the new brace is tiring. I fatigue more quickly. Second, I've made the decision to have my left knee replaced this coming August. In my mid-20s, I had a skiing accident. After the first repair job, I was hospitalized twice more, ending finally with an operation for bones that were not mending. Since the accident and the following medical mishaps, I've known that my legs have made me vulnerable, As each decade has gone by, it becomes more and more obvious. Over the years, I have consciously been preparing for a time of less mobility. When I quit working, it was primarily due to the exhaustion of working all day. My life was becoming more and more narrow. Work, home, dinner, bed, work, home, dinner, bed. Low-grade chronic pain is exhausting. After retirement, I chose art school and painting because I knew I could do it sitting down. I learned to knit. Another sitting down activity. My life has been really full. I give myself credit for making these preparations for a more sitting down kind of lifestyle, but now that I'm facing another prolonged period of limited physical activity, I find that my emotions are sometimes uncomfortable. I'm sometimes very sad, sometimes frustrated, sometimes self-pitying. I agreed to this talk partly because it gave me the opportunity to revisit Bridges and explore what he has to say about transitions. He identifies three stages of transitions: the ending, the middle period, and the beginning. He says that every transition begins with an ending. That seems to be the theme today. We have to let go of the old thing before we can pick up the new one. Why is this letting go so hard? Some part of us is still holding on to what we used to be. For example, it took me 2 years before I stopped, after I retired, to stop dropping my former work title in conversations. Bridges says that when endings arise, often the feelings we have are brought from old associations. In other words, it is a style that we have developed for dealing with endings. Bridges suggests that we need to understand our characteristic ways of coping with endings. One way to do this is to think back over the endings in your life, beginning in early childhood. Try to recall feelings and thoughts you had then. I've thought about my past transitions, and I've tried to identify the patterns that emerged for me. I remember when I was 12, my mother was ill, and I became the food shopper and the cook. When I pulled off a Sunday dinner that included grandmothers and our aunt and uncle and cousins who drove up from LA, I knew I had made my parents really proud. I recall a feeling of being competent and pleased with myself. This step, one of many from dependence to independence, was important to me. As a young woman about to be married, I spent endless hours copying my mother's recipes and other how-to tricks. I felt very amateurish compared to what she could do. As a college undergraduate, I was gathering information to later become a school teacher in Bellevue, Washington. I believe that every teacher remembers the first day of unsupervised teaching. Maybe not panic, but amateurish for sure. When I thought about transitioning to motherhood, I remember the panic. Oh my God, here was this skinny, crying, wet, hungry baby. Talk about amateurish. I didn't even know how to hold a baby, let alone put a baby in a bath. At first, when I was thinking about this, I thought maybe this is the only job that I ever moved to where I wasn't gathering information prior to the move, so to speak. I thought, well, it was just my body taking over. Then I realized that I had been gathering information, not formally, but by osmosis. I had a wonderful mother and grandmothers from whom I absorbed. In 1967, I began my 9 years as a stay-at-home mom. It was during this time that women began burning their bras and making claim to a larger societal role for themselves than had been generally allowed their mothers. These were good years, but I also remember feeling frustrated, unappreciated, sometimes angry, and lonely. These feelings propelled me into the next gathering information stage. When we moved to New Zealand and my youngest son went to school all day, I was hungry to pursue new skills and became a full-time social work student for 2 years at Victoria University. Back in the USA, I used these New Zealand skills to start an organization called Connection, a series of nonprofit respite care programs in South King County. After 5 years, I remember feeling exhausted by the demands of keeping a small nonprofit social service agency financially alive. I left the organization. Happily, it still lives today. I wasn't sure what to do next. I took walks and I reflected. I wrote about the respite care experience and it was published. What came next was a job offer from Group Health Cooperative where I could develop a similar social service program, but I didn't have to write grants to pay the bills. What a relief. After starting the program at Group Health, I felt satisfied. But after a couple of years, I felt like my job was becoming too routine. Was I a little bit bored? I think that at the beginning of any new experience or job, there is that feeling of amateurish incompetence, and we work like mad to overcome these feelings. Then one day we realize, surprisingly, we've become competent. Maybe I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie, in that I like the startup, the incompetent phase. I find that the most exciting. I thought that if I moved from program to development to administration, I could rekindle that excitement. So I sought a master's in public administration on evenings and weekends. During my last 6 years at Group Health, I worked mostly from September through June. Summers I spent in Port Townsend. Back in Seattle in September each year, Group Health had me attend to some part of the organization that needed problem solving or an extra pair of hands. Each September I had new tasks and my learning curve was almost vertical. They say you should be careful what you ask for. I got so much job excitement coupled with my chronic orthopedic issues, that I was worn out. I retired from paid work. When I look at these transitions, I see that they all began with uncomfortable feelings, amateurish, incompetence, panic, frustration, unappreciated, sometimes angry and lonely, a little bit bored, worn out. I also see that my common strategy has been seeking new skills. I coped by seeking more information to feel competent and confident. I like to think about it as gathering eggs for my resource basket. I like a basket full. I wasn't sure where I was going in these transitions, but I felt that different tools would move me to a different place. Bridges explains that in the midst of change, it's not easy to say what will emerge to take its place. In other words, even though we are preparing, we don't know what will happen next. After my upcoming knee replacement, I will be forced to take moratorium from everyday activity. It will be a time of recuperation and more solitude. However, I want this to be more than a temporary state just to be endured. I hope to use whatever time it takes to evaluate how I want to live with less mobility in the future, because there are more orthopedic issues coming. Endings, either brought on by ourselves or the unanticipated endings like divorce, loss of a job, death of a spouse. These endings are usually followed by what Bridges calls the middle time or the neutral zone. Bridges says that this is often a time of lostness and emptiness. Because these are uneasy feelings, we want to rush through this period. He warns us against rushing. Emptiness, he says, is essential. There's a lot of inner work to do. I'm beginning to feel that this transition I am in right now might look different than earlier ones. Bridges claims that as we get older, transitions become more mysterious. We tend to pass them off as the effects of physical aging, but he says there's something deeper going on. A letting go of a particular self-image and style of coping with the world. I'm going to say that again. That there is something deeper going on, a letting go of a particular self-image and style of coping with the world. He also says that much of this later growth looks like loss, just as earlier growth looks like gain. He says this is no more true than the sense that spring is a season of gain and fall is a season of loss. Each is essential to a full cycle. I want a full cycle. I want a full cycle with wisdom, grace, and beauty, remember? I feel a bit overwhelmed right now, trying to imagine how I can get from here to a place of contentment with less mobility. Adding further to my distress, Bridges says that moving into this change in later life requires three things. First, we must unlearn a whole style of mastering the world that we used in the first part of life. Whoa, wait a minute. How can I curb my need for competency and applause, or acquiring new sets of skills? This one scares me. I am not very good at slowing down. Second, he says, that we resist the longing to abandon the journey, because it's hard, I guess, and we also need to refuse invitations to stay forever in some attractive place. Oh, wait another minute. Can I give up the flattery of people wanting some part of me, my time, my ability to organize, my artwork? I'm not sure I'm up to this one either. Third, we recognize that it will take real effort to regain an inner home. An inner home. This one I get. Okay, I get this one. This is real effort. But I feel like I'm on my way. By definition, I am in that place of confusion that Bridges talks about in that neutral zone. I don't have any answers. However, I am calmed by the first point that he makes in a transition checklist. He says, first and foremost, take your time. You cannot rush the inner process. Ah, I love that one. This is the invitation I can and do accept, to take my time. And I'd like to pass the invitation on to each of you. Thank you, my friends.